Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. Support for WGTD also comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show. I'm Gregory Berg. A quick reminder that you can subscribe to The Morning Show as a podcast. The title is The Morning Show with Greg Berg. It's available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. And this weekend's offerings include Tomorrow, a conversation I recorded 10 years ago with the great Brian Stokes Mitchell, Tony Award-winning singer, who is coming to Lake Geneva as part of their Music on the Lake series a week from Saturday night, August 10th. You can hear that interview with Brian Stokes Mitchell on tomorrow's podcast. Again, look for The Morning Show with Greg Berg. And by the way, Brian Stokes Mitchell in a brand new interview will be my guest on Monday. Stay with us for today's Morning Show interview. And today's morning show is going to be exciting indeed, because first of all, we are so happy whenever we can welcome into our studios Dr. Debbie Ford, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, Gateway's neighbor to the north. And Chancellor Ford, of course, is on the program on any number of occasions to talk about the exciting things going on at Parkside. Today she talks about something that is actually uncommonly interesting, because she is just back from Helsinki, Finland, where she was a co-presenter at a major conference there, a conference which also featured as her co-presenter David Brukart, who is the UW System Interim Vice President of University Relations. And we're going to be finding out from them about this big event that was going on, and about the University Industry Innovation Network under whose auspices this event was taking place, and some of the exciting ideas for the future that are being nurtured with this organization, and what they talked about at this big event. So first of all, right here in the studios, Chancellor Debbie Ford, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Well, Greg, thank you. It's always great to be on your show and talk about all the great things that are happening at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, but also to share some information about how we're making sure that folks around the world know of the things happening right here in Southeast Wisconsin, and particularly some of the initiatives around smart cities, smart futures. So really looking forward to sharing this with you, and hopefully at the end I also have a chance to tell you a little bit about a side trip I took while in Europe to Wolfenbüttel, Germany, the sister city of Kenosha.
Fantastic. I've been to Wolfenbüttel. I will be very excited indeed to hear about that. And then via the telephone, we are happy to have with us David Brukart, UW System Interim Vice President of University Relations. David Brukart, we welcome you to the morning show as well.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we will be anxious to hear a little bit more about you. Actually, let's do that right now, since this is your first time on the morning show. Chancellor Ford was telling us before we went on the air that, in fact, you are someone who has some local connections. Tell us a little bit about that and more about your career that has led you up to this point.
Happy to do that, Greg. And in fact, at the university, we spend lots of time working and talking with students about the importance of preparing for careers and internships. And it so turns out that many, many years ago when I was in school, I had an opportunity to have an internship at that time, JIKACE Corporation, working in their external relations and public affairs unit on 700 State Street many years after graduating and taking a couple of other positions. I had a chance to come back to Case and actually work there for a number of years in the corporate external relations area and managed the global communications network for Case, both construction and farm equipment. Our children were born in Racine. My wife had worked for many years with Johnson Wax and the Wingspread Foundation, and we just have many, many great ties to Racine and Kenosha and to Parkside. So it's really good to be back with Debbie Ford in this collaboration that we will be talking about today.
Very good. Tell us a little bit more about this split appointment that you have right now, which involves both the UW system and also the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and how those two appointments, in a sense, fit together.
It's rather a unique relationship, and it's something that we in Wisconsin take somewhat for granted, because it came together in 2012 when the University of Wisconsin system took a look at how it could be better connected to the business community and to the external parts of this state. And a position was created, which is my position. And I, at that time, we were living in the West Coast, in the Pacific Northwest. I was selected to be the person in this dual role, which reports jointly to President Ray Cross at UW's system and to the Secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Mark Hogan, which allows me an opportunity to have offices on both ends of State Street in Madison, so that as we're looking at opportunities to put together programs that would be useful across our campuses around the state, with that we can align those interests and take a look at how we can work with the state as it's putting funds and investing in opportunities in industry and in communities. So it's very helpful to have that role. Again, it's something we take a bit for granted, but as we have been working, as Debbie mentioned, with our colleagues both in the U.S. and internationally, they have pointed out that they're not really aware of anything else along these lines anywhere else in the U.S. or actually around the world.
Chancellor Ford is nodding and smiling. It sounds like you are speaking her language, and of course, this sounds like in some ways, it sounds like other partnerships that Parkside has been part of.
That's
clearly, you know. Let's let Debbie talk about that. I work with all of the campuses, and UW Parkside is a campus that clearly is a standout in building and maintaining great relationships with its external audiences.
Yeah, Chancellor Ford.
Well, and I think that goes back to the founding of the university, because UW Parkside was founded by the community for the community. And I think that all the partnerships that we have with business and industry, with nonprofit organizations, with government, with our students, faculty, staff, and alumni is what makes us a great university. So expanding our reach internationally is something that's also very important to us. And to be on an international stage, really talking about the things that are happening right here in Southeast Wisconsin with the UW system and UW Parkside, opportunities like that don't get any better.
Mm-hmm. So let's have one of you or both of you talk about this event in Helsinki, Finland, where you just were and where the two of you just made this presentation. Before we get into actually what your presentation entailed, tell us more about this big event. Maybe Mr. Brukhart, why don't you begin, and we'll have the Chancellor fill in more details.
I'd be happy to do that. The organization itself is the UIIN, University Industry Innovation Network, and it is, I believe, the largest of its associations of its kind in the world, which brings together academic practitioners and industry professionals that are working to build stronger connections between higher education and the business community in general. And they have a fancy name for that. They really call it the Triple Helix, which is pairing the university professionals with government professionals and the people who would be out in the real world, so to speak. Making these things come together in a way that can build consensus and collaboration. I often use the phrase that old baseball great Yogi Berra misused, which is pairing up in threes. When you get two or three people together, you can make more things happen than when you try to do it yourself. That's what the UIIN does. And Debbie and I spoke in Helsinki, not because we decided to go there, but because they selected us. And the UW system, Smart Cities, Smart Futures initiative, which Debbie led with our colleagues at Foxconn, and it was selected as one of the small number of what they call global good practices that they felt needed to be lifted up and understood by the other practitioners around the world.
Oh. Chancellor Ford, what would you like to add?
First of all, I think it's important to know that this is the third time that Dave Brucart has presented at the UIIN meeting. And so he is certainly providing opportunities for Wisconsin to be featured at this particular meeting. And this year, it was the largest gathering. 500 people from 60 countries were represented. And what I really enjoyed was meeting people from around the world. And what I liked about the conference itself, it was small enough where you could meet and network. And also, many of the presentations were at round tables, so they were facilitated discussions. And so we could talk about what may be happening in Stockholm or what's happening in London or what's happening here in the U.S. And I was struck that we're all wrestling with the same questions about how do we really build sustainable partnerships with business and industry particularly, and that business and industry wants to work more with universities, and they are looking at opportunities in research, service, and certainly in developing talent. And what may have worked previously is not going to work in the future, and that was another reminder. But the other takeaway that I had, and I think it's important to mention now, is I'm so proud of what we are doing right here. And, you know, I'm on the Gateway Technical College campus this morning for this interview, and Gateway has wonderful industry partnerships. It's a good model. Carthage College as well, and certainly UW-Parkside. It was a way to validate that we're on the right path, but we have a ways to go.
Well said. So these 500 other people from 60 countries, are we talking about people from the world of higher education primarily, or are we talking about people who are also representing these other elements of the Triple Helix?
From my perspective, they were from everywhere, and they were government officials, they agencies across the world representing public sector, and certainly some industry professionals and higher ed leaders, faculty, administrators, and I think thought leaders around what is the future role of universities. And how do we really work together to create that? So I know Dave met a lot of folks while he was there, so he could certainly comment on that.
Please do, Mr. Brucart.
Yes, and Debbie is spot on with those comments. Really, the organization and its membership is diverse, both geographically, professionally, and in some cases ideologically. It's a very good mix of people. The moderator for our own session, for example, was a woman from Japan who is based in Maastricht, Netherlands, and works for the UN, and they're doing work specifically under her jurisdiction related to smart cities and those kinds of initiatives, primarily in the EU. But some of the other presenters were bringing examples and specifics from their experiences wherever that might have been. There was quite a contingent from Australia, for example, and many folks from Japan, South Korea, and China.
Sounds like an impressive gathering. And do I remember correctly from what Chancellor Ford said that this is the third time that you have been part of this conference? And if I remember that correctly, then what do you see in terms of a difference between these various conferences, the earlier ones versus this most recent one that you participated in?
Well, there is a continuity, Greg, in what the University Industry Network, Innovation Network does, but I see that the numbers of people coming to these events is growing, and over the past few years, growing considerably, particularly from small universities who are trying to understand what their role might be in whatever country they are, as well as from universities of much larger size, and in some cases, as in our case, university systems. The presentations travel around the world, and what the folks at the University Industry Innovation Network said to us is they like to come to a venue where they can be in a location that isn't just necessarily a hotel. They like to be in, for example, when we were in Amsterdam a few years ago, the event was in the old Amsterdam Stock Exchange, which happened to be the first stock exchange in the world. And that building is historic, and they were working with the folks in the Netherlands to bring in financial, academic, industry, and government kinds of practitioners and leaders who could help us build the dialogue. The meeting in Finland was at a symphony hall, which I know would be near and dear to your heart. In fact, perhaps you have been in Finlandia in that hall and performing. I wouldn't be surprised if you had. And again, we were in the middle of the city where they're trying to help us be a part of the locale and to learn from the local professionals. And in fact, that event last month in Helsinki was co-sponsored by the Ministry of Education for Finland.
Wonderful. For those of you just joining us, my guests on the morning show today are UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford and UW System Interim Vice President of University Relations David Brukart, who are just back from Helsinki, Finland, where they co-presented at a major conference that gathered hundreds of interested parties from around the world, 60 different countries represented at this particular event. And in just a moment, we're going to hear a little bit about what the two of them offered up in their presentation. Chancellor Ford, earlier in the interview, you brought up that now very familiar phrase of smart cities, smart futures. Explain how that concept folds into that, and is that directly related to the way that phrase has been used quite a lot here in Wisconsin with Foxconn and some of the initiatives that they have tried to foster?
Absolutely, and almost a year ago, really August of 2018, UW Parkside, in partnership with the University of Wisconsin, hosted the Smart City Smart Future Summit. And we had an opportunity to hear from Chelsea Collier from DigiCity and really filled the ballroom at UW Parkside to learn about Smart City Smart Futures, because certainly with Foxconn's selection of Southeast Wisconsin and their conversations about the 5G and 8K technology, you know, what might it mean for our region, our state, to be a smart city? And so what can we learn? So we brought folks together. From that, as you may recall, Foxconn announced their big competition, the Smart City Smart Futures competition, that involves all of higher education here in Wisconsin, which is a fabulous collaboration. And actually one of the winners in phase three was actually a Gateway Technical College faculty member. So
right.
Congratulations here at Gateway Technical. So I think the opportunity really was to think about this, what we're doing here and how we might share that and how to work with industry partners particularly. And again, Dave and I presented about the competition. And we presented about our collaboration, and we presented really ideas of how other communities might work with business and industry partners to do similar things to really inspire innovation among students, faculty, and staff across our campuses, because that's one of the ultimate goals that Foxconn has, is how do they inspire innovation and the big ideas that really come from the faculty, staff, and students on our campuses.
Right. And big, exciting new ideas that even might fall outside the purview of what Foxconn manufactures or what Foxconn does. I mean, it isn't just that they're trying to find ideas that will directly serve them. They have, in a sense, a wider purpose in mind.
That's right. And think about, you know, they're building a manufacturing facility, but it's within the science and technology park. So it really is about inspiring innovation. And I think if you study their organization as well as other organizations in Southeast Wisconsin, many of the ideas, they started from big ideas. And the companies today are not doing the same things they did 10, 20, 30 years ago. They're innovating all the time. And so we have to make sure that our students have that entrepreneurial and innovative spirit as well.
Very good. David Brukart, explain to our listeners how this collaboration with Chancellor Ford, in a sense, took shape. I mean, and what kinds of things did you talk about in terms of what you wanted to say and how you wanted to say it in order to tell this exciting story effectively in Helsinki?
Well, I think it's important to start out by mentioning that the authors of our case study were Debbie Ford and me, plus Dr. Alan Young and Sean McComb, who are two lead individuals at Foxconn. And the whole intent of that Smart Cities, Smart Futures initiative was to find a way to tap into the vast talent pipeline across the state of Wisconsin in higher education, to bring out and encourage people to discuss and explore new ways to work, live, have recreation, do all kinds of things. Foxconn's intent was not to look at just what might a new technology be, but how do we live better? How do our cities work better? How do we communicate better across the rural divides? How do we bring healthcare to places where doctors are scarce? And really, they were opening this up across all disciplines. And our goal with them was to have them tap into the university system, University of Wisconsin, but also, importantly, as Debbie Ford mentioned earlier, with our colleagues at the Wisconsin Technical College system, all of those campuses across the state, plus all of the private colleges, including Carthage College, where you are a professor, Greg, and taking that whole scan of literally 500,000 plus students, faculty, and staff, opening and welcoming them to bring their best and brightest ideas. That was how this thing came together. And the competition itself was Foxconn's, and their goal was to provide funding to the best ideas that, as we agreed with them, was a very good thing to do, because the funds went directly to students, directly to staff, and directly to faculty to bring these ideas forward. And that was a program that we put together last year and was rolled out at the UW Parkside campus in the beautiful Rita Talent Picken Regional Center for Arts and Humanities, which we know as the Rita. And really, as I go back to that day, Debbie Ford was leading this great, essentially a triple helix collaboration of business, government, and academic leaders. And in that room, we had Mike Lovell, president of Marquette University. We had Dr. John Swallow from Carthage. We had Brian Albrecht from the Technical College System, representing all of the campuses across the state. We had Ray Cross from the UW System. And we had Dr. Alan Young, who leads the Foxconn initiative. Debbie brought all of these people together to say, we have an opportunity for you to help bring forth the best ideas to take this state to a new level of success going forward.
What an exciting day. And then how exciting to get to kind of tell that story in a place like Helsinki. Chancellor Ford, what do you want to add to that?
Well, and I think one thing is our presentation was well received, and we were timed in the afternoon of a day long presentations. And so we were a little concerned at the beginning as we looked around and said, oh, is anybody going to show up? But and it almost a packed house in our seminar room. And we had the presentation, and then we had a little bit of Q&A, and then the other group presented about some of the work they're doing in the EU. And then they had Q&A, and then we had a joint Q&A session. And overall, it was very well received. And what they wanted more detail, which they could read in the case study, which everybody has access to from the conference. But what I really appreciated was they wanted to explore more deeply the interconnectedness of this particular competition and how it relates to the innovative work and building this spirit of entrepreneurship and critical thinking and big ideas that are across our campuses in Wisconsin. And so we had a chance to talk about some of the other activities that happen across our curriculum and inside and outside of the classroom. So those are just some of the things I think that resonated with me as part of this. And then we also had an opportunity to talk about partnerships and the strength of the partnership, not only with Foxconn and certainly with their investment of $1 million for this competition over 3 years is significant. But without the Wisconsin Tech Council and the WEDC and the Wisconsin Independent Colleges and the Technical College System and the UW system, we wouldn't have been able to succeed in having this first year of the competition. And for Dave and myself to be able to present and represent us and represent what's happening here again, what a fabulous opportunity. And I'm just looking forward to year two of the competition and more importantly, following these big ideas.
Right.
And seeing, nurturing them and really encouraging more students to get engaged.
Sure. And of course, even those ideas that didn't end up being the winning ideas, they're still ideas that still have all kind of promise and potential in it. I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be very exciting to see where these ideas go. I want to be sure to ask both of you to of your sense, Chancellor Ford. You've already touched on the fact that you came away from this deeply appreciative of what's happening right here in southeastern Wisconsin and in the state of Wisconsin as a whole. I mean, obviously, there are some ways in which we seem to be leaders in some of this. I'm curious, as you came away from the conference, what's your sense in terms of kind of the United States as a whole? How are we doing in this whole matter of smart cities, smart futures, nurturing big ideas, bold ideas for the future, versus what's happening in the rest of the globe? I mean, are we a leader in this respect, or are we maybe scrambling to catch up to other places that have been thinking more aggressively about this? Dave Brucart, let's begin with you.
Well, I think what we have to say might be important, but I'm very much more putting weight on what others are saying, and Debbie can talk to this better than I, but Racine was picked as one of the five top smart cities locations in the country, and I think the smallest of the five out of hundreds of applicants. So good things are happening in Racine, very much so related to what's coming out of our campuses and our innovative manufacturers and our community leaders. And I think that says a very good thing about where we are. And yet, having been at that conference in Finland and hearing from others, there are ideas that we can bring to this area that haven't been tried here yet. And so I think there's a great mix of a good base of enthusiasm and momentum and some good programs moving forward that I think we can just see ourselves at kind of the beginning of a nice long rise.
Chancellor Ford?
I would say the opportunity, too, is to realize that this is a broad network of folks that are passionate about building partnerships. And I think that's the opportunity that I see, is that we don't know it all. and how do we expand that network, not just in our region, in our state, in our country, but really internationally. And I think there are examples, certainly, of some cities that are ahead of what may be happening in the United States. But certainly, I know that we are a leader in many other respects. And for Racine, the city of Racine, to be one of the five finalists for the Smart Cities Readiness Challenge, and I can tell you that UW-Parkside is proud to be a partner with the city of Racine as we advance what it means to be a smart city, but more importantly, how do we engage citizens, not just in using technology, but really advancing how technology can improve the quality of our lives across so many dimensions. It's not technology for technology's sake, but it's really how we use it and apply it to make our lives better.
I'm also really anxious to hear from both of you what you took away from the conference aside from the formal presentations like the one that the two of you crafted together and delivered together at the conference in Helsinki. This event was about more than just those formal presentations. I think both of you have already touched on the fact that it was also a chance to simply meet people. I wonder if each of you have any kind of significant takeaway from that aspect of the event in Helsinki. Dave Brueckert?
One of the meetings that we had separately from the conference was around building engaging and entrepreneurial universities for the future. And we are working with some of the leaders of that organization from around the globe to understand how we can build our own universities and our own systems of higher education to be more entrepreneurial and more flexible. And there were discussions around where do we go for what does the university of the year 2040 need to look like for both traditional and non-traditional students, for people who are busy, who like to do things online and need to and want to and value from collaboration. And I think a lot of that is happening already on our campuses. One of the things Debbie Ford mentioned in the presentation while we were in Finland was the unique initiatives that started at Parkside around brown bag lunches with students and faculty from all disciplines to talk about how we live a better life and what our future should look like. And that was led not by a technology professional, but by a philosophy professor. And I think how do we think, live, and work better was the sense of what came out of our meetings and, you know, both in and outside the formal conferences in Finland.
Chancellor Ford?
Well, I have several takeaways, so I think I'm going to summarize them in this way. One of them was the opening presentation was all about the role of the university of the future. And I would like to share what Arno, the founder and leader of the University Industry Innovation Network, had to say. And he said, and there are sort of 5 points. So first of all, that the university of the future is a talent engine, developing and validating competencies of our students. A life partner, adding or scaling the skills of professionals, and that's really across our lifespan. Discovery, cutting-edge, visionary, and collaborative research. Home base, this was a new one for me, being an open, co-working exchange space for our region. And so not just for the institution, but really for the region, and then a launch pad, entrepreneurial base for students, academics, and business. And I know that, I think if we think of that in those five terms of talent engine, life partner, discovery, home base, and launch pad, I think it really defines who we are today and what we're striving to do really across Wisconsin.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then I want to share some skills because I think it's so important in this. We hear so much about the skills that our students and graduates need today. And I think these validated for me the really good work that happens at UW-Parkside across the UW system and really across our state. But these are the skills that are needed for the future. Collaboration and communication. Creative problem solving. An entrepreneurial mindset. Curiosity. Techno-literacy. And critical judgment. And so I think as we sit back and really think about our curriculum and the learning that takes place on our campuses, those skills have not only resonated previously and in the past, but they certainly are going to be even more relevant in the future.
Right. If anything, they are of escalating importance as we go into the future.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's really terrific stuff.
Yeah. And it was practitioners just like us, really just talking about, and some of it can be very simple to think about, but in the end it's very profound and reminds us of the importance of education and the importance of providing opportunities. And then one last takeaway, Greg, and it was this. I think several speakers talked about the importance of just getting started. And they found that in building partnerships, they had to talk, bring people together, collaborate, but they had to act. And so it's not going to be perfect, but you had to get started. And so that was a theme that resonated at this conference. Don't wait till it's perfect. Just get started. And you can build it as you go along.
Wow. Great advice, great thoughts all around. So, and all of this, again, took place at this conference in Helsinki. How long did the event last?
It was a three-day event and packed with sessions from morning till night. A very, very intense set of sessions. My only regret was that so many things were concurrent, we couldn't hit everything that we wanted to see, but we tried to split up and catch as much of it as we could.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it was an exciting and beneficial experience for both of you and for everybody who was a part of it. David Brukart is UW System Interim Vice President of University Relations. David Brukart, we're going to let you go at this point, but I want to thank you for being a part of the morning show today. It was great to talk with you, and I wish you well in all of the good work that you are doing on behalf of the state of Wisconsin. And thanks again for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you, Greg. Great pleasure to be with you.
And we have a few minutes to finish up with UW Chancellor Debbie Ford, who had a little side trip that we're going to get to in just a second. I wonder if you just have any quick comments about the city of Helsinki, Finland itself. Had you ever been there before?
Yes.
Or was it the first?
This was my second visit to Helsinki. Had an opportunity to visit a few years ago when we were visiting one of our university partners in Finland in the Mikkeli University of Applied Sciences, and we traveled in and out of Helsinki, so I had an opportunity to be there for a day. A beautiful city. And one of the highlights of the trip, besides the conference, of course, was meeting one of our students who is one of our women's basketball players and her father for an evening in Helsinki and a chance to go to the sea and see Helsinki from their eyes, and because that's her home.
Wow.
And so it's always great to be with a fellow Ranger and talk about UW Parkside from so many miles away. So wonderful trip.
Fantastic. That's absolutely great. And then you mentioned before we went on the air that I think following your time in Helsinki, Finland, you were actually able to spend a little bit of time in Wolfenbüttel.
Yes.
So I want to just insert parenthetically before I forget that I've been to Wolfenbüttel because the Carthage Choir in their European tour back in the January of 2000, when I was their interim director, sang a concert in Wolfenbüttel.
Oh, beautiful.
And it was the first time. It might have been the very first time ever that the Carthage Choir had been to Wolfenbüttel. They'd been to Freilassing, which is the sister city of Racine, but not Wolfenbüttel. And my wife and I and the students have very, very fond memories of Wolfenbüttel, of how beautiful it was and how warmly we were welcomed. And so it's just fun to hear that name again.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So what brought you, was this kind of a spontaneous idea of yours, or was it part of a carefully crafted plan to visit Wolfenbüttel?
Well, we have a university partner, Osfalia University of Applied Sciences, which is located in Wolfenbüttel, and they have three campuses there in the region. And when I realized I had the opportunity, when our program was accepted at the University Industry Innovation Network, I thought, well, if I'm going to go to Finland and to Europe, I might as well see if I could also visit one of our university partners. And it's one of our oldest partners. And we've had faculty exchange with Osfalia, as well as student exchange. And many of our faculty at UW Parkside are working on research projects with colleagues at Osfalia. So an opportunity to visit with our university partners. partners, visited President Carger and her leadership team, talked about extending our memorandum of understanding between our universities, toured two of their campuses, and certainly had a tour of Wolfenbüttel. Beautiful city. You are right. And they're rebuilding the plaza, making it more of a pedestrian plaza right now. And but what a wonderful city. And I can certainly see why Kenosha and Wolfenbüttel really created their sister cities agreement so many years ago. And I have to say, had a chance to cross Kenosha Bridge, which is the bridge into Wolfenbüttel.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yes, we have Kenosha Bridge in Wolfenbüttel, Germany, and we have Wolfenbüttel Park in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Very good. The park I knew about, in fact, most of the time on the 4th of July, that's where the Kenosha Pops Band plays, is right in the heart of beautiful Wolfenbüttel Park, right there on the lakeshore, just south of downtown. And I'm always sad when I think about all the people who probably frolic in that park and have no idea what the name Wolfenbüttel is.
That's
they probably
right.
think it's some great German-American who used to live in Kenosha, but no, it's this beautiful, beautiful city in Germany that is just a lovely place. So how long were you able to be there?
Oh, I was there for really 2 days. And then had an opportunity to see some of the cultural sites in Berlin before heading, you know, back here to the campus and to the U.S. The chance to see Berlin and to understand some of the very, you know, important history, but also to see the places where our students will visit when they are on the exchange program or summer program with Ausfalia University. And also had a chance in the community, they had a huge run the evening we were there because it was, you know, the summer, beautiful, just a few weeks ago. And 10,000 runners from, I think, 5 about 4 p.m. Till about almost midnight participating in this run through Braunschweig or Brunswick, as we would say here in the U.S. So really an opportunity to be a part of the community. I did not run, of course, but cheered on some of the runners throughout their experience. And again, to meet university colleagues and talk about our partnerships and really the value of international relations, again, an honor to represent UW-Parkside.
Wow, that's terrific. It really underscores, too, how for many schools of higher learning here in the United States, that there is this international element on a lot of different levels, not just collaborations with other schools in other places, but also the fact that you just touched on a UW-Parkside student who's originally from Finland. And I know you have more than one. I mean, and many schools are seeing more and more of that kind of presence. How is that playing out at Parkside, for instance?
Well, internationalization of our campus, our creating global classrooms, and the internationalization of our curriculum is more important than ever. And so we have partnerships with several universities around the globe. I know we have students from over 20 countries who enroll at UW-Parkside, and we're actually seeing an increase in international student applications this year, so which is really good for us and I think important to our region. And one of the things I was struck by on my tour of Wolfenbüttel and at Ausfalia is in one of the wings of one of their buildings. It's the microbiology wing with our colleague Hedda Sanders, Dr. Hedda Sanders. She works with several of the faculty at UW-Parkside. Most of the posters talking about the research have the name of a UW-Parkside student or faculty member on them.
Wow.
And so it's not only the collaboration through the exchange, but it's really the collaboration of big ideas, what we're talking about today. And so, Greg, it's something we must continue to nurture and create as leaders in higher education.
Fantastic. In our last couple of minutes, I wonder if you want to share any information about some of the new things going on at Parkside. I know that, for instance, a new program or two have been created and that really kind of point to some exciting possibilities for the future.
Well, I think we'll go back to the beginning of our conversation around smart cities, smart futures. So a year ago, as I said, we hosted the Wisconsin IDEA Smart Cities, Smart Future Summit. And a university is a great university because of the quality and the innovative spirit of our faculty. And very proud that our faculty and the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies are officially launching the Smart City Policy and Civic Partnerships Online Graduate Certificate.
Wow.
And so this is a program available to folks through the Masters of Applied Professional Studies, led by Dean Peggy James and Professor Christopher Hudspeth, who is a philosopher at UW Parkside. And so we invite folks as we support the Racine and its journey to become a smart city, one of the smallest smart cities, but also really to understand policy and civic partnerships. And we invite folks to take a look at the UW Parkside website to learn more about this program, but certainly more about the growth of graduate programs, master's programs at UW Parkside. So when I started at Parkside 10 years ago, we had 3 graduate programs, and I believe this fall we will have 13.
Wow.
And so, again, being responsive to the region and making sure that education is accessible for all is something we're very proud of and will continue to focus on.
Fantastic. I wanted to also mention that not too long ago I had such an enjoyable conversation with one of your deans and with Dr. James Kinchin about the lovely exchange that occurred between the United States and China, that is, with the choral students of Parkside and with the choral students of a school somewhere in
Wuhan.
Wuhan, that's right. And that just was an absolutely delightful conversation, and one also had a sense that it's just the start of what will surely be other collaborations that will be similarly exciting.
Absolutely. That was the Two Worlds, One Art program and opportunity. And it really, 3 years to plan that event. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Kinchin visited Wuhan University and taught there. Then we hosted one of their faculty members here, Lily, and she sang. This was 2 years ago. Then Dr. Kinchin was there last summer, and then the choral groups performed together. And I have to say, attending the concert here that was in Racine with the students and afterwards, because they were almost finished and the students from China were going back they were touring the next day and then going back on a Monday. To watch them and take photos and share their photos on social media and how much they learned about each other in such a short period of time. It's about bringing people together, and that is what universities do in so many ways. So Two Worlds, One Art is another example of a great international collaboration between UW Parkside and our partners around the world.
Fantastic. And on that very happy note, we draw this morning show to a close with UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford. Chancellor Ford, it's always a great pleasure and honor to have you on the morning show. It's great to hear about all the fantastic things going on at UW Parkside, and I look forward to our next visit very much. Best wishes to you.
Thank you very much, and always appreciate the opportunity to talk about what we do, and thanks for being a great partner here at WGTD.
Monday on the morning show, Tony Award-winning singer Brian Stokes Mitchell, who is performing next Saturday night, August 10th, at Music by the Lake at Williams Bay. And by the way, if you order tickets through their website, musicbythelake.com, in the special bar that says promo code, type in WGTD10 or WGTD10, and you will receive a special discount exclusive to WGTD listeners for the concert on August 10th. And on Tuesday, a preview of an amazing American Experience documentary about Woodstock, which of course occurred 50 years ago. Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea, Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. Information at jackandrea.com. Jack Andrea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. Support also also comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers available at carthage.edu/